out 108 in the afternoon. It's time for Bike Talk with Chris Kelly.
All right, Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing darn good. How you been this last month?
Pretty darn good over here. Yeah. I heard you on the radio this morning. You sounded great.
I try.
Well, in the studio today, I've got Matt Fritzinger from the NorCal High School Mountain Bike League. He is the league founder, founded it back in 2001. And as well, I've got Amrita O'Leary. I have Sam Raymond, and I have Jet Lowe. Amrita and Sam both coach the girls and boys mountain bike team. And Jet also, I think, is out there with the kids riding, but she is also very instrumental in the fundraising that goes on now, which is a real fundamental part of what it takes to run a high school mountain bike team. So a couple first announcements I also want to make is that we kind of had a tragedy in the industry yesterday where we learned that one of our fellow athletes, Steve Larson, died of a heart attack yesterday. So we're flying the flag at half mast here on Bike Talk today. Steve was a longtime veteran, junior racer, U.S. national team. He had a really astonishing career. And I just talked to Kurt before the show today, and he clued me in on that. So our hearts and our prayers are out to his family and his five children. And we just we're devastated about it. So we'll move on from there. Also, what we have coming up for the pledge drive is we had a really kind of a cool thing happen where Yuba Bicycles, they're a cargo bike company. They donated one Yuba Mundo frame and fork and their carriages and all that. And the kids at the Seven Hills Elementary School Bicycle Recycle Project Program put all the parts and labor to this bike to make it one complete bike so that we could give it away at the end of our pledge drive that's going to take place beginning June 8th. Now, the way this works is that anyone who gives a gift of $25 or more during the pledge drive is automatically entered to win or automatically into a drawing to win this bike. So we hope we'll hear from you during the pledge drive, and there are more details on our website, kvmr.org. Okay, moving on into the studio. By the way, Kurt Stockton, my co-host, he's out on the road. He was coaching. Kurt, Brian, we have like, what, one, two, three, five, six
there
of us
in the
studio.
There was no room for him here.
It's almost like it worked out, but, you know, I miss him already, you know. But he was coaching a junior developmental team at the Ventura Stage Race last weekend, and he's on his way back, so he's on the road as we speak.
Nice.
So we're going to miss him today. He might pull over if he's listening to our show on his iPhone today and chime in and see if he can give a few words. And
if you take his call.
I mean, because you're just such a heavy call screener, aren't you? Always watching out, aren't you?
Let's mention that as we talk to our guests, if you want to call and make a comment or a question, you can call 530-265-9555 or in the Northern California area, 1-800-355-5867.
And always keep in mind, we are broadcasting to you on KVMR 89.5 FM, 105.1 up in Truckee, Tahoe. So feel free to call us in, and we thank all you people that are listening to us online at kvmr.org, streaming live. And you know what? It'd be really cool if someone was calling from far away to tell us where you're calling from. We want to hear from somebody from far away. That'd be really cool.
Nice.
Okay, let's go right into our guests here in the studio. We got Matt Fritzinger, first guy I want to bring to the microphone. How are you, Matt?
Good afternoon, Chris.
Good to see you. I've, you know, since I moved from Oakland, I don't see much of the old peeps anymore.
I know, and you're missed.
That makes me feel good.
Over there at Royal Coffee is just not the same anymore.
I'll tell you, that place is full of love. I know they even changed the name.
I know.
Oh, God. I didn't have anything to do with
that name yet. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, that's what I do, too. We still call it the Royal Experience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I miss the good coffee, and I miss the crowd. But I'm glad that you drove all the way up here today to be in the studio with us and to talk about something you founded in 2001, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you just on the fly. You'd be on your bike going somewhere. I'd be going somewhere. And what are you up to, Matt, lately? Well, I'm starting to coach the Berkeley High team and helping them out. And I'm thinking, wow, now that's got to be a challenge, you know. And it's hard enough getting together with a bunch of bike racers and getting organized, let alone young bike racers at the 13, 14, 15-year-old age. And oddly enough, or fortunately enough, this thing has evolved into what is now the NorCal Mountain Bike League, High School Mountain Bike League, and now it's branched off into the SoCal high school mountain bike league, and it's awesome. I'm psyched for you to have been on the ground level of that, and just something that you just did kind of as a labor of love is what I got. And now it's evolved into what it is.
Yeah, who knew?
Who would have known? Who would have known? That's a Austin Powers thing.
Uh-huh.
You guys had your championships this weekend also,
yes.
Kind of ironically enough. I have Amrita and Sam in the studio and Jet as well. And the high school mountain bike league had their national championship event this weekend that I understand the
state.
Nevada Union state championship. Okay, straighten me out because we're going to talk national in a minute,
mm-hmm.
in about maybe 20 minutes.
Right on.
Because we got a lot to cover. Tell me, tell me about the years in between starting the team. What kind of
sure.
made you want to start the team? Coaching the Berkeley High team that led to what is now. The league.
You want to know the truth?
I do want to know the truth.
I wanted to get out of staff meetings like the other teachers who coached other sports.
So you were teaching at the school?
Yep. I was a math teacher, Berkeley yeah. High. Algebra, geometry.
Well, Matt,
and,
that's honest.
It's the absolute truth.
That's totally
It didn't
cool.
seem fair. They could go play football and baseball with their students, and I had to go to staff meetings. I wanted to go ride my bike.
That's awesome.
So I put in a bulletin, and four kids came to my classroom at lunchtime, and I didn't even know it was going to be a mountain bike club. I have a road racing background, but a bunch of mountain bikers came to my classroom and said, yeah, we want to have a bike club, but we want a mountain bike. I said, all right, I got one of those too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, four kids the first year, eight the second, and the third year is when I felt, based on the races we were going to, which were kind of spread out, made for a long season, and I just felt like we could probably pull something together that motivated other students and parents, coaches to create teams, because there just wasn't a team concept in the world of mountain biking.
Mm-hmm.
So we put together a point series and a point scheme for teams, and sure enough, first year, 2001, three other teams came out of the woodwork, and one of those was the Nevada Union Miners.
I guess those teachers didn't want to be at the staff meetings either, and you have all this nice forest around here to be riding through, eh?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's so cool. I never knew that. I remember you were telling me you were coaching. I didn't know you were a math teacher at Berkeley High to start with. So that's really interesting, and just what an honest beginning, really. Just wanting to get out of something else, a means to an end, you know?
Yeah.
And then the point series that's great thinking, and two or three other teams. How did you develop the point series? Was it based on kind of your experience as a road racer and how we kind of format things in road racing?
I looked at other point series, like what they're doing in collegiate cycling and some of the road stuff. We had the opportunity to start from the ground up, and being a youth-oriented program, we came up with a point scheme that I think really fit well for helping kids feel like they've accomplished something. As an example, I've seen point series where after fifth place or 10th place, you get 0 points.
Right.
And I don't care who you are, how slow you went. If you completed an 18-mile mountain bike race over the courses that we put together, you don't get 0 points.
It means an awful lot to those kids, too, and that's what it's all
yeah.
about.
Yeah, and there's a psychology there. That
you
we
showed up, you competed.
Yeah. Yep.
You finished.
So we
finished.
You know, the point series, where everyone gets points.
Yeah.
The team points are set up so that you have to have girls on your team in order to be competitive.
That's good.
And so that motivates the coaches and the boys on the team to recruit girls on their team. And the league's about 20-25% girls now, 100 girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Throughout California.
Yeah, and just NorCal.
In NorCal.
Yeah. Yep.
How big is the Southern California League now?
Just to compare it, NorCal has 35 teams and about 450 kids racing this season. And the Southern California League had its first season. We were thinking 4 to 6 teams. 60 kids. We actually had over 100 kids.
Wow.
And 14 teams representing.
That's amazing.
We were blown away.
So then going back to, you had three schools. One of them was Nevada Union. Let's segue off onto the Nevada Union team then.
Yeah.
Their early, I guess, coach founder was Deborah Little.
Yep.
And hats off to Deborah Little for starting that. And Deborah, if you're listening right now, everybody here just thinks the world of what you started out on.
Yeah, absolutely. As the Berkeley High coach and league director the first year, I couldn't help but think that, you know, early in the season the other teams weren't organized and didn't really quite know what was going on, but as the season went on, things built up and we culminated into the state championships near here. up at Eagle Mountain by the Eagle
Yeah, that's
exit.
Right. I remember when
that was our first state championship race.
Right.
And that was where Berkeley suffered their first defeat.
Oh, yeah.
To the Nevada Union Miners.
And, yeah, because there's a lot of talent in the East Bay. Yeah, there's a lot of talent in the East Bay. Good riding, good training. So, but Nevada Union is a totally different story.
Mm-hmm. And Deborah Little led that charge. And I knew that because of that, that it was worth coming back and doing it another year.
Yeah, that's cool. So, those are the kind of things that kind of keep you through to the second year, too.
Absolutely.
When you're second guessing and doubting yourself, like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. And now we have Amarita coaching the women's team, and you've been coaching it for the last 3 years?
Actually, my official title is head coach. So originally, Deborah asked me to coach the girls, but as it's evolved about 2 years ago, well, this is my second year as head coach. Unfortunately, this year, or fortunately, I got into nursing school, so Sam has pretty much stepped up this year. And although I may hold the official title as head coach, Sam has really done most of the work this year.
That's right.
Yeah, and I started helping Deborah back in, I think it was 2002, 2003, maybe the third year. And it's amazing how much it's grown in that much time.
And your day job, you're an EMT, and you're going to school, and you have a little one.
So
you got a lot on your plate. We're talking here, I think the theme for today is labor of love.
It is.
Everyone in this studio today is just giving it because they want to see the kids have a great time and have a great experience. And
absolutely. That's what it's all about, is the kids.
And even to get off to come to Bike Talk today, to be in the studio and talk about it, you have finals going on this week, I understand.
I actually took my final early last week and lost 5% of my grade so that I could have that behind me to go into state championships. I just knew that I wouldn't do as well after, you know, the long weekend the 30-something kids and the 70 parents having so much fun out there. Having to come home and take finals Monday morning at 7 a.m. wasn't going to fly. So
we call that taking one for the team over here.
It takes a couple of days to recover.
It sure does.
It does. It does.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm actually done with that. And, still working on the ambulance in town here.
Yeah.
And, of course, still have a 3-year-old running around.
Well, he'll soon be 4 years old, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he looks like he's about 5, but he's really just turned 3.
He's a big boy.
He is a big boy.
It's because you're feeding him and you guys are really healthy.
Yeah, it's all the bike riding
That's
he does.
That's right. All the bike riding, yeah. Soon you'll be having to keep up with him.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, Sam, so your tenure as coach as well has been for the last three years
exactly.
as well?
Exactly. And you know, I was just thinking back to when you were mentioning Deborah Little. She was the sole founder of myself on the team. And, you know, she kept after for a couple of years, and I'm grateful for it now. But I also, like Matt, have a road background. And, you know, I went to Nevada Union, and in order to race, I had to travel with friends, you know, like 3 other guys, and we used to travel all over Northern California. No team. You know, self-supported at the hotels, all that stuff.
Right out of your own pocket.
Let loose, you know. And so I finally said, okay, you know, if we're trying to put something together as a program for high school kids, I'll try this out. I've been grateful that she did. She kept pushing on me. And 3 years later, we just finished up the third season that I've been on. And the ninth season total? Is that right? Or eighth season?
Wow, 2001, 2009,
It's been a lot of fun and so rewarding for myself to see our program continue to build momentum and draw more kids in and see that spark go off in their head.
Mm-hmm.
That I think they're going to be lifelong cyclists now.
Well, if nothing else, they're going to have something they carry through life, and it's being able to be part of a team that does something great and has great experiences together. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Absolutely.
A lot to be said for that.
Absolutely.
And we're shuffling headphones around here in the studio if anybody's wondering what that noise is.
But sorry.
Pay no attention. No, it's fine. No sorry over here. This is community radio. And then, Jet, we have you over there. We got you tucked way back there. Matt, I'm going to move your microphone just a little bit back because I want to get more eye contact with Sam over here because we have, like, a can of sardines in the studio here today effect with all six. And that's great. Now I can see you. So, Jet, you came on board...
Actually, I came on board in 2007.
In 2007. And were you just a parent that was just wanting to help out their kid at school and be a part of the team, and you were out on the rides with the kid and just kind of chaperoning and coaching
very
as well?
Very much. That was basically the stereotype you're talking about I was following. My son actually started when Deborah was still an independent high school race team, and it was a great experience for my son.
Yeah, that's great.
A wonderful thing. I mean, it really taught him self-structure, basically,
yeah,
to this day.
And then now you're involved in the fundraising. You got the paperwork done and all the T's crossed and the I's dotted for them to be the Nevada Union team to be a legitimate nonprofit organization, to where all of a sudden you can start really working aggressively on funding, because that's the other side of the coin on having a team like this. Is from the outside, everybody thinks, oh, cool, you know, you get some shirts made and you got a couple people hanging out with these kids and they're going to the races. But the reality of it is there is a cost to doing this.
Right. We actually help support the three schools that have bike clubs on campus at their schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all through private family business donations right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually learning the grant process is quite a long, tedious process to actually write a grant proposal till you actually get the collection of the funds. It's an amazing program that we're sponsoring here up here for our kids. Again, it's a lifestyle the kids will take on forever, you know, riding their bikes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bicycle riding is such a good thing. And what would we do without it? It's just change. You know, it's helped me think about life in so many different analogies. So, you know, as much as I curse it sometimes, because, you know, being in the business, you get a whole different end of it. I, you know, wouldn't choose another path, you know, that I did choose. And so, you know, kind of talking about collegiate cycling too, and Matt kind of had a list here of things that he made sure he wanted to talk about today. And yeah, I want to kind of touch back on the whole collegiate cycling scene, which was much like the, you know, the high school league that is now. And what we're looking at now is, now we're talking about fundraising and we're talking about the team growing, just like any kind of business, having strong, even growth. We're looking at reaching out across, or Matt's looking out at reaching across, the league is looking at reaching out across the nation. And so, shoot, you know, touch on that.
Sure.
Is that a difficult task, or do you have a lot of, is the momentum that you've built up now really something that is going to help that a lot?
Well, it's interesting the way it's unfolded. 2 years ago, I had folks saying I should expand to Southern California, or I should become a national organization, and I just kind of laughed, said, well, I kind of have my hands full here just with Northern California, with 30% growth a year, trying to keep your organization sustainable and also keeping your risk management where it started.
Correct, yeah.
Is a big task. And so what happened, though, is last year's state champs, a guy named Quentin Easton came, and he was from Southern California. He'd called me a couple times, and I used to get calls and emails from SoCal periodically and just always just kind of give them whatever information they wanted, encourage them to do a few things to get things rolling for a club or a league. But he's the one guy that kept following up, and I said, well, just come to the state champs. And he came, and he left just blown away by what he saw, just this multi-generational scene that's crossed between, like, the Seattle Classic and a Renaissance Fair. Kids just
amazing,
doing their thing with their tents and warming up, and the families all there, and the families, a lot of them riding their bikes with the kids during the pre-rides.
Like college football or something.
The layers of
enthusiasm.
Yeah, the layers of support that we get from all our volunteer parents just make for an incredible event. And so he went back, and a couple weeks later he said that he actually knew some funding that he thought he could help us secure to launch a SoCal League. And in July we did a presentation to Jim Easton, who's the CEO of Easton Sports.
That's a good one.
And he has a foundation now. And he liked the idea. He was trying to give money back to their core sports, which were archery, baseball, hockey, and cycling. And so we became, I think, their first cycling grant for the new foundation. And so that was July. In August, first week of August, we launched a SoCal league. with the press release, we had our website up.
Yeah, I saw that at Interbike. I saw Dorothy and some of the other gals down there that were involved in racing, and they're doing the coaching now and just carrying the torch now.
People came out of the woodwork like I wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
It's 8 months later right now, and you know, we got that season under our belt. Did everything we did, and pretty much everything we do here in NorCal, we did down there, and
without the learning curve.
Yeah, and what made it possible was obviously some funding where I could hire my first full-time staff to really take over a lot of the NorCal work, which seemed like an essential thing even without SoCal, because no organization should depend on one person.
Right.
And so we have some great new people working for us, and that freed me up to do a lot of trips to SoCal.
That's good. Yeah, necessary.
Yeah. So
for growth of the whole program.
Yep. So, and for me, it felt like going back to my teaching roots, too. Lots of teaching all year long in terms of, you know, how to coach a team at the coaches' conference, and then teaching race organizers the nuances of putting on a race for high school kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, so everything you learn applies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's left out. That's really cool.
Yeah, so our sponsors, the bike industry in general, is quite excited. Specialized Bicycles in particular, they're our founding national sponsor.
That's great.
And,
good company.
They've been fabulous. And so we are going to launch a national brand, and we have a committee in Washington State that's been very keen for over a year now. They flew me up actually last summer. And
yeah, so you're saying out in the lobby when we were kind of briefing mm-hmm. to come into the show, you were saying you have a – in Washington, you've – well, this is Washington State we're talking about.
Correct.
You had you've been getting phone calls.
Yep. Yeah. Lots of interest. There's a committee there. In the next 6 weeks or so is when we're going to decide if we're going to launch it this year or next year. And in Colorado State, we have a committee as well. And if all goes well, Washington will have a league season, their first season, spring 2010, and Colorado will have one fall 2010. But a lot has to go right, especially with the fundraising.
Sure.
If that's going to come together. So
quite the real estate
yeah.
deal.
Yeah. So we are yeah. looking for investors, you know.
Yeah.
Folks who want to, you know, be a founding, you know, board member for this national organization. And if somebody is out there and has some money they're sitting on and want to see it go to some good use.
Or needs a really great tax write-off at the end of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah, this is something that
That's the next best thing to the KVMR yeah. pledge drive, right?
Yeah. I think all our board members and sponsors get a lot of satisfaction
yeah.
out of making this happen.
It's such a worthwhile program.
It's no one person making this happen. And
yeah, indeed.
A lot of our sponsors are just noticing years down the road that their kid next door is suddenly in the league. And
you know, on that note, I want to welcome people from the local area and abroad as well to call. Our station is KVMR 89.5 FM in Nevada City, California. We're on 105.1 up in the Truckee, Tahoe area, streaming live on kvmr.org, and you're listening to Bike Talk. I'm Chris Kelly. This is the NorCal Mountain Bike High School League, Matt Fritzinger. I've got Sam Raymond and Amarita O'Leary, and I have Jet Lowe in the studio with my engineer, Brian it starts with a C.
Something like that.
It's there. My guy, Brian, over here. And I was going to ask the parents that are local that are psyched about the Nevada Union team to call in and share some enthusiasm with us and some highlights, and talk to Matt, who is the actual founder of the league, if you're out there rolling around in the car and you have an earpiece on, or if you don't, maybe you can pull over and call us. And our number here is 530-265-9555 to be live on the air. And I think we had a caller that was holding. Did we have Mary Ann on the phone to talk about some women's cycling stuff?
That's correct.
All right.
And there she is.
Hey, Marion, you're live on KVMR.
Hey, Carson had been talking to you about calling in, and it was great to hear Matt talk about the high school league. My name's Marion. I'm with Women's Cycling Magazine, and Carson and I were actually at the California High School State Mountain Bike Championships.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Marion.
Did you camp? Did you camp out?
Well, we have a sprinter.
Oh, that's so no we were fair. You were luxury camping, man.
Yeah.
You should see the RVs that come out. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like NASCAR.
Nothing yeah. like the big RVs, though. I mean, we still had to go use a portalette, but still, we weren't sleeping on the ground.
Give it time.
Yeah. but the high school racing is something that, with Women's Cycling Magazine, we really wanted to cover because, I think getting young women involved in a sport that they can participate in for their entire life, and a sport that has such potential for great crossover, is super important. And so we wanted to cover it both for the young women who might be our readers, as well as for the parents who might read our magazine and say, you know, even if they aren't in California, they might read about this and be like, man, New Jersey doesn't have a league.
Exactly.
You know, what do I have to do to get, you know, my son and my daughter in their school, riding their bikes, and start a league? So there's a lot of overlap between, you know, these young ladies who are riding and their parents and the people who care about them who may also ride. So we wanted to cover it for that reason. And it was a really great event, lots of really great energy. And it's something that's truly unique. I think that, you know, it's an organization that deserves the industry's support, as well as the support of schools and other youth and educational organizations across the nation. So,
as well as the parents.
Exactly, exactly. I think that kind of, I mean, it shouldn't go without saying, but it's kind of, I mean, it's a really great family event because, you know, for a football event, you don't go with your family to a football event and camp out for the weekend. Whereas at the state championships, you know, everyone's coming with their parents, and, you know, they get to interact with their parents so much more than if they were just getting shuttled to a football game or just getting shuttled to a soccer game. And I'm not by any ways detracting from these sports because, I mean, I like playing soccer and stuff like that, but cycling is something that I think is that high school students, you know, if they get involved with it now, it's something that they can do until they're 80 or 90 years old, you know, and they may, that's not, you can't really say that about football or soccer. It's a lot harder to maintain your activity
so
in those
true.
Kinds of
things. Yeah, so true. How many guys have, and it's usually a guy thing, guys only play football. You know, they do have women's
exactly.
powder puff, but it's just not the same. And how many older dudes have you talked to that say, oh, I played high school football and I blew up my knee?
Exactly.
And, so I don't play no more.
The glory days.
Think about riding a bike. You know,
yeah.
I can't tell you the amount of people I've talked to like that.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
thinking, you know, cycling, I got onto it late in my 20s, and I constantly ask myself the question, not in a regretful or a wishful way, but, you know, geez, how much different would my life have been if I would have just got into the sport 10 years earlier when I was 14?
Right.
Had
Absolutely.
I known about it, you know, and really, you know, where I was living, I was out in Green Valley Road in Suisun City, California, and I had, oh, good, you know, I had Lake Berryessa in my backyard. I could have taken off up there. That's where the Solano stage race happened up there, you know, and when my girls raced that race, I was out there. I'm going, boy, we used to come water skiing up at this lake every other day, and I could have just taken off from my doorstep and rode up here and probably been super fit, competing with the big boys way back then. Maybe it was a good thing. Maybe it was a bad thing. I don't know. But it's really great for me when I see this program that's happening that, hey, at the 14-year-old age, the kids are finally – and it's not like these poor kids are just overloading on hormones, so it gives them something to do, you know, and
right.
it gets that energy out, and they start to think things through a different way on a bike. I mean, as an adult even and a grown-up starting out in the 20s, you still got a lot of energy and a lot of angst, and the bike was just such a good way to get out there and unwind and get in that altered state of thinking about things you never thought about in ways you never thought about it before, and finding solutions to your problems as you're just out on a ride. And that's the things I remember the most about early days of my early days of cycling.
The thing that I would say about the going back to getting girls into it is what I've noticed is the high school girls, they base their confidence so much off of looks and, you know, who they're dating and this and that. And with the Mountain Bike League, they actually get a true sense of who they are and what they can do and what they can conquer. And for me, I love to see those girls who don't think that they can ride a bike at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, they're, you know, I beat that person and, I you know, look how much faster I am. And for me, it's very encouraging to see the league having so many girls involved. And the first year I think I helped out, we had 2-3 girls, and this year we had 9 girls sign up for the team, which was our biggest year of girls. And I'm right there with you, encouraging the girls to join the team, and just knowing that the league is a safe and it's not a male dominated place to race. Is the league is great that way.
I like how you set up the whole system there in the beginning too, Matt, where you can't earn the points unless you have girls on your team. That was great.
Absolutely.
Because I remember the early days of the Cal team, we didn't really have any women on our teams. It was just all a bunch of guys, and it used to be we'd show up at a race. Well, okay, you and you, Roger and Matt and Richard, you guys will all be in the criterium, and we'll hope you do good, and we'll see how we come in. Then after 3 years of that, it was like, okay, here's the deal. You guys here, you guys are going to be the A squad for the road race. You're going to be for the criterium. We knew we were going to always end up in the top three,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden we started getting a women's team. Women were coming out and wanting to be on the racing team too, and so it was really great. And much like the collegiate teams, that's the other thing we wanted to touch on, and it's probably a good point to segue, is the high school mountain bike team is not a school affiliated team. It's like the collegiate team, where it's a club. So that goes back to the fundraising that we're talking about. This is why we're talking about fundraising and why it's really important that people really look at the sport and get involved to help build it up, not just on a coaching level, which is super important, but you also have to think about it in terms of it needs money to exist.
Absolutely.
It needs financial support.
And, most of all the kids and the parents on the team are awesome, and they all know, but for those of you who don't know, it's volunteer at this point. The schools don't pay anything for the coaches for mountain bike. I don't know how it is at other schools, but
I could give you a kind of a background. It is primarily a club sport at most of these schools, like a chess club or what have you. And with time, more and more schools are beginning to recognize it as a true athletic team. Mm-hmm. But they're usually not backing that up with funding. As a teacher at an urban school in the state of California, where I didn't go to high school, I noticed a disparity between the after-school sport programs we had in our suburban school in Chicago compared to the ones we had here in the Bay Area City, Oakland, Berkeley area. Mm-hmm. And I never felt comfortable asking schools or administrations for money. It felt like you're asking beggar for a dime,
Right. Because we've already cut ever since 1976 when Prop 13.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anybody over the age of 40 knows exactly what that is. And, we don't get much, the schools don't get much.
Yeah, so I believe that the sport is great enough and that the passion is there to raise the money. And most of our teams do a decent job at that. Some of our teams have upwards of $30,000 budgets that they raise. Some of it's team dues. They do scholarships for kids who have financial challenges, and they do fundraising drives, or they do fundraising bike rides.
I'll tell you, it sets a kid in a good direction when they got a program like this, and I hope that folks will think twice when it comes down to, when they see that kid out there, doing a fundraiser program of any type to get involved and see if you can dig deep and help out,
Yeah, so for me it's kind of a myth that becoming an official school sport is going to suddenly get you lots of funding.
Yeah.
Most of those coaches get $1,600 a season, which probably breaks down to about $3 an hour.
Yeah,
you gotta love doing it.
Love the sport.
You gotta have fun doing it. You gotta want to do it. And most of our coaches do. We have about 150 adults who coach these teams, either as head coaches, assistant coaches, or ride leaders. And I know for myself that's what kept me riding.
Yeah,
I'm done racing for the most part, but I just want to be out there on the bike still.
Yeah,
and that's so much of where our coaches come from. They come from that mindset that they realize that without some kind of goals, for example, taking your team to the state championships and placing in the top 10, is a reason to get on the bike 2 or 3 times a week. And when you do it with kids, it keeps it fresh and lots of fun.
Well, I got to imagine, truth be told, I won one race in my whole cycling career. Okay. And it wasn't a really great, big, huge race, but dude, it felt awesome. And I got a lot of thirds and seconds, too. But it's not the same as being first. And so I got to imagine being a parent and, it's got to be something like that. When you see your kid out there performing well and winning, your kids meaning the kids you coach, the kids you mentor, seeing them on the podium, it's got to just swell you up.
It does. And like I said before, even just seeing them conquering, you know, an obstacle that they never thought they were going to be able to do. And, you know, they show up at these races the beginning of the year, the freshmen, and their eyes are just huge. And they couldn't imagine how big these races are until they get there. But then once they're done, they are hooked. Most of them are 100% hooked, and they love it. Yeah. And for me, that's good enough. They don't have to be on the podium.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really awesome.
It's an amazing 4 years to be involved with a growing, you know, young adult.
Yeah.
They never forget you either.
Yeah.
Get very attached.
Sometimes as a coach, and I'm going to try to do this for the league this year. I have to dig down into the vaults and put pictures of them as freshmen next to a picture of them as seniors.
You got these things called the internet now. Yeah, you put it up on your website. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
There's pictures worth 1,000 words.
I think that's what gets you hooked as a coach also, because you think, oh, my goodness, I'm losing all these seniors, and we're so attached to them by the time they're seniors. But then you get attached to the freshmen have just come in, and you're their families. Like the caller was saying, you know, you camp with these people at the races, and you get attached to the families just as much as the kids. And I think it does bring us back every year.
We still have Marion on the line.
Yeah.
Hey, Marion. Sorry, we didn't mean to forget about you. You know, speaking of which, you know, being from a magazine perspective, someone who's out there trying to see what the story is all about and following the High School Mountain Bike League and women, especially women's cycling. What your own personal enthusiasm towards it? How long have you been following this? And for you, what hits home to you the most about it?
Well, I don't work for the league, but I've volunteered at a couple of dinners, and I worked at a shop in Berkeley, so I kind of saw the beginning of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I saw what was going on with the league, and it was very much. Man, I wish I had that when I was in high school. That would have been so rad, you know. And so I mean, in some ways, like, I want to try to support it and cover it in the magazine, and so that people across the nation can see it, because I think it has the potential. It's a model that can expand and grow, and it has such potential. And then about getting support, especially from the bike industry. I mean, I've worked in the bike industry for a while now, and I would encourage people in the bike industry who hear about the high school league to really support this, support the high school league. Granted, it's, you know, I don't know where their budget is coming from, if it's coming from advertising or marketing or advocacy, but you know, it's really not money spent. It's an investment, because, you know, kids, if you're getting kids on bikes, they aren't playing video games, and they aren't,
thank you,
you know, they aren't sitting in front of a TV. So it's an investment in one way, in savings and future healthcare costs. Furthermore, I mean, if you get kids riding and they develop these positive associations with riding, they're more likely to continue riding until they die at 95 years old, you know?
Yeah.
So I think...
It's a lot of bike parts.
Exactly.
A lot of tires.
And
so even if, you know, even if your company, even if they don't buy your product right now in the cycling industry, if they ride for the rest of their life, they're going to buy your products eventually.
That's right.
And by supporting something that these kids love, you know, the people in the industry automatically get kind of that rub off from the high school league. So I would think of it not so much as advertising, but as an investment.
You know, that's really great. And that reminded me of a conversation I was having with Sam a little earlier at Broad Street Bistro Cafe, where we usually stage up for Bike Talk. And we were talking about etiquette and teaching the kids habits on the road and other things that the kids learn that they wouldn't otherwise, unless they had some good coaching and someone taking their lead and showing them how to be when you're out there on the bike.
Absolutely, and that's one thing that the Nevada Union program, and I'm sure talking to other head coaches, they have in mind as well, is we're raising future riders. And actually, I like to think of it as future leaders. And so you've got the fitness aspect of keeping them fit, healthy, out of trouble aspect. You've then are creating people who are going to choose the bike over, say, the car or other power transportation using up resources. But as you're saying with etiquette is they're out on the roads with us. And I like to think of it as I'm a longtime cyclist, and I'm going to be riding with these people both on the trail and on the road. So I want a solid rider out there, a safe rider. I want them to survive their day on the road amongst the fast cars. And then on the trails, we deal with a lot of trail issues. And so, you know, etiquette kind of goes into it, it puts its fingers in all these different aspects of riding up on horses properly, of being nice to walkers, don't blow by them at 35 miles an hour. And our kids, I think, by the end of the year, are really conscientious. And I'll come up behind. I'll be with a group of 20 of them as we're going down Pioneer Trail here locally. And I'll come up as a sweep rider. I'll come up on a whether it's a hiker or equestrian, and I'll say, were those guys nice? Were they nice to you? You know, were they okay? And they're like, oh, they were fantastic. They all slowed down. They got off their bikes, whatever. And that really pleases me, you know.
Yeah.
Probably more than the actual racing does is we just dumped 50 or whatever it is, 30 more kids into the cycling atmosphere that can handle themselves.
Yeah, that's got to be a good feeling to know that the common courtesy factor is there so you don't have a lot of loose cannons out there and you're not breeding a bunch of loose cannons.
Exactly.
And that everybody's going to be probably a lot more safer and they're not going to be bumming anybody out.
Right.
I
just wanted to add real quick, too. I think I became a better driver once I started riding my bike for transportation.
As did I.
And I think in some ways, by getting kids on bikes before they're in cars, they're going to be safer once they do start driving.
That's a really
as
good.
As well, because they will be more aware.
More defensive. That's a good perspective. That's a very good point. I see Jet over there waving a flyer, and this is really important because I'm going to just let her. It's a Bike Fest 2009, and you're going to have a summit meeting. We have about 10 minutes left on Bike Talk. Looks like we got another caller. But, Jet, why don't you go ahead with what you have here, and let's talk about the Bike Summit because it's an open invite as far as I understand.
I'm going to let Sam talk about the Bike Summit first, and then I'll do the fundraiser.
Okay. Is that flyer you have there, is that for the fundraiser? Or what?
Fundraiser.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. So on June 20th, we have a community event. It's called the Family Bike Fest by Youth Bicyclists of Nevada County Foundation and Big Brothers and Big Sisters. YBONC is actually promoting advocacy and cycling for youths and much more. And so this is one of our big fundraisers for the year. We're having a bike rodeo, bike safety check, a bike swap. All this starts at around 2 o'clock. On June 20th, it's a Saturday. We're including two local bike routes along shady routes that we've selected. We have a hydrate hour, raffle, auction, dinner, and speakers. And our speakers are Peggy Smith. She's actually the mother that inspired me to start this foundation. Jason Mosler. He's a three-time U.S. national team member, 1997 junior national champ, three times Downeyville pro winner. Carol Carson, author of Fat to Fit. She was of a book that was just released. She was in the union last month, and her book actually turned out to an AARP national challenge. And also Chris McGovern, former pro cyclist.
I know that guy.
Cool.
He's a friend of mine.
He's helped us out on the team this year.
I remember when he started out as a junior, I was racing up against him. He was starting lots of trouble. He was fun to ride with. He's such a good guy.
So quite a lineup, Jet.
Yeah, we have a lot planned. Yeah. And I actually got vitamin water to support us for drinks during this event. And also REI from Roseville, they're sending up a bike tech to help do the bike check for kids' bike. And then I have also set up... The Steve Davis and Rich Looney coming out with their new van to help do the rodeo and checks and stuff.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of stuff lined up. So I hope you guys out there, if you guys don't have any plans that weekend, we're trying to make it a bigger bike weekend. That's the same weekend as the Nevada City Classic race that Dwayne Strouser of Tor puts on every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can, come on out. Hopefully it won't be too hot. The first route's going to be for beginners, and then we have a second road route for people that like to actually do some roadie climbing stuff.
That sounds great. Now, we're going to go into something else here real quick, but we've only got 7 minutes left to bike talk. Really, we only have six because we've got to do music and then out for the last minute. So we've got two callers
that
called
in. We've got a couple
callers. And so let's take one of those callers right now.
We got Patrick on line two right now.
Hi, Patrick. You're live on KVMR.
Hi, people. Hi. Do you have any idea if... we've tried to implement in the United States the thing that I heard that Europe, they were leaving bikes in a public square where people could just utilize and bring back the bike or whatever.
Well, that's going to definitely a topic for another day.
Okay.
But we kind of talked about it a little bit on the last show.
Okay, I missed that.
But I've heard rumblings of stuff like that, but I don't have any facts.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of facts on it, but I know we've probably got another caller on. It might be Ben Sarzen from Yuba Bikes.
Well, it's actually Dwayne. I don't know if it's the Dwayne, but we'll see.
The Dwayne?
It looks like he left.
I don't know.
Maybe my bike's ready.
Maybe he'll call back.
Is your bike ready? He's working on your bike for you?
Well, Dwayne, call back if...
okay, well, what we're going to go into with Sam here, we're going to talk about...
That's probably him right there.
There's the phone going again. Okay, here we go.
I got him that time.
You were live on KVMR.
Hey, it's Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
The first thing, good. I wanted just to go back to what Sam said, just to hit a quick topic about dumping, 30 or 40 more kids into the bicycle culture from the high school team. And actually, what I want to clarify is that you're actually talking about 100 to 150 people. Because what we've seen is not only the kids on the team, but their siblings. Most of them have younger brothers or sisters that suddenly are getting into the sport.
And
their
parents.
As well.
Their dang parents.
And, many of these parents had nothing to do with bikes before this and drove their big trucks and didn't know what a bike was. And now suddenly they're very bike-friendly. They're riding bikes. I can't tell you how many of these parents have gone down to like Sea Otter this year and started racing on their own on either the road bikes or the mountain bikes.
It's pretty awesome.
It's an exponential increase in the awareness of cycling in our community from what this high school team has done.
Gives a whole new meaning to the term family involvement.
Exactly. That was really the point I wanted to make. We've seen a tremendous improvement in just awareness and involvement, way beyond just those 30 or 40 kids on the team directly.
That's really it's a great perspective. Thanks for calling in with that, Dwayne.
Yep, we'll see ya.
All right. Speaking of Dwayne, he's going to be my guest on the next show when we talk about the Nevada City Classic, and it looks like we're winding down the last 5 minutes, so if we got callers calling in, we'll take them brief, and we'll try to keep it brief, go around here in the studio. Brian's giving me the head nod, like, Chris, that's a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
So, Sam.
Yes. Well, you know what? We are... we're basically looking to continue to improve this program that we have, and that means more volunteers, sometimes more funding, and what we're going to do is have a bit of a local cycling summit for the Nevada Union program coming up in early June. And what we're looking to do is have a pretty efficient night because it's actually graduation week. I was the one who actually planned the night. And, of course, I did it on my own schedule, roughly, and found out,
Thanks a lot, Sam.
There's Nevada Union. There's all the elementary schools. But, everybody's busy anyway. We want to keep this really effective, really efficient, talk about what are the best ways Nevada Union can move forward, especially considering the current economic atmosphere. It just whether or not that directly relates to us, which it does, but – we want to allay some fears, and so that's going to be June 4th. People can contact me.
June 4th, that is?
That's correct.
What night is that, a Tuesday?
That's a Thursday night.
Thursday night, June 4th is going to be the summit, and everybody's invited?
Well, we actually do want to keep it fairly low-key because we need people's input, and we want to move along and actually get to a conclusion that night.
Do you have a website where you have the information for that people can clog?
We actually don't yet. Oh. So if they contact you, then hopefully you can put them in contact with
me. No one ever contacts me, Sam.
We'll drive traffic to your site.
You guys need to have a website with some of that up there. But maybe, Matt, you can link to it on your website. I have a link to Matt's website, the NorCal Mountain Bike League, High School Mountain Bike League website. It's on the Kelly Bike website on the Bike Talk page. And you can go to my first page, click on Bike Talk. If you liked anything you heard about or you want to talk about something or have comments, you can go to kellybike.com, click on Bike Talk, send me an email through there, and I'd love to hear what your thoughts and comments are on the show. I want to thank all my guests for being in the studio today in Maryland. I especially want to thank you for calling in and giving your perspective from Women's Cycling Magazine. And I guess we didn't hear from Kurt today, but that's probably because he's driving hard and was out of cell range. Amrita, thank you, Sam,
thank you,
and for the fine job that you all do. And I understand you're going to be moving on next year and are trying to find replacements. So that's about what
that's
part
right.
of that development dinner is all about,
that's
or
right.
evening of summit that you're going to put on is all about, because you're trying to find some real suitable replacements for yourself. So people, if you're out there and you've been
right.
thinking about something you want to be involved in, you might want to come to this. Matt, Jet.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for both being in the studio.
And
Matt, thanks for founding the High School Mountain Bike League. And I'm sure that goes for the thousands of kids or hundreds of kids that have passed through that program and benefited from it. So it's a great thing you did. And just keep on doing it. Keep up the good work. It's such a great thing.
Thanks.
So we always like to have this kind of thing on Bike Talk and talk about it. And so
thanks
you were a perfect
having us.
Subject for today. It was great having you in the studio. Even though we were a little cramped, it's great. It was very intimate. All right. So, Brian.
Good show today.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed because we didn't get to hear much from you. You brought your old Bontrager that you crashed in here for me to fix. Brian brings his bike to the studio. I must be the bike guy or something, because it's just like when I used to go to the bike races. That's how I used to get all my work. Hey, dude, I brought my broken bike. Can you fix
Please
it for
fix
me?
It?
Brian, there's nothing wrong with that bike. It's got a little old dent in it. You don't want to wreck the paint job.
You know, I'm rough on it. I got to be careful with that thing. You know.
What would Keith Bontrager say if he saw his old Bontrager bike here and you with a little dent? He'd probably look at you like...
He'd shake his head.
He'd shake his head and he wouldn't say
he
a lot. Cuts. Keith doesn't say a lot. He'd look at you like, dude. And he took it all apart like it's going to get cut apart. And I guess I'm going to have to do something to it now because you
I
took
hope
it
so.
All apart.
Yeah, you know, come on.
Yeah.
So when's the next time we're on the air?
Well, the next Bike Talk is going to be June 17th. That is Wednesday, June 17th, and it is the Wednesday previous to the Nevada City Classic.
Ooh.
And I've got some very interesting guests lined up. Hopefully, I've been talking to Tom Ritchie, and he might come up and be in the studio or on the phone and talk about his young years as a junior here at the race and how it inspired him. And, you know, maybe changed his life like the NorCal Mountain Bike High School Mountain Bike League, something like that.
Right.
And Dwayne Strausser is going to be in the studio with us, too, because he's been calling in and calling in. We got to have that guy.
Got to have him in person, right?
Because it's his race, man.
Yeah.
Those guys work hard. They work so hard putting on this race. And so we're going to just be in the studio talking about the classic.
All right. Well, that's, you said June 17th?
June
Wednesday,
17th. Wednesday, June 17th.
1 o'clock. That'll mm-hmm. be the next edition of Bike Talk.
I'll be here. Mm-hmm.
We'll catch you then. This is KVMR FM Nevada City. Stay tuned for A Swingin' Affair with Ron Avezzino.